This is the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Coming up, from the Motor City to a riverbank near you, controlling erosion in the West with Detroit riprap. Plus, Utah engineers are now producing rare earth elements from local ore. First, here's Jody Peterson with headlines.
Proposition 113 has passed in Colorado by 52-48%, according to the Associated Press. The proposition allows Colorado to participate in the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, which means that the state's 9 electoral votes go to whichever presidential candidate wins the national popular vote. Proposition 114, reintroducing gray wolves to the Western Slope, has passed. The measure got just over half of the vote, and opponents conceded on Thursday afternoon. Colorado Parks and Wildlife must now come up with a plan by 2023. The state is the first in the nation to reintroduce wolves by popular vote instead of by recommendations of federal biologists. COVID-19 outbreaks are ongoing in nearly 600 Colorado locations. That breaks the previous week's record for the fourth week in a row. Delta County is reporting a new outbreak at a care facility, Hope West. An outbreak is two or more positive cases at the same location within a 14-day period. In Montrose, quarantines are in place for some students and staff at Centennial Middle School and the Early Childhood Center after new cases of COVID were diagnosed. Delta County schools do not publicly report COVID cases. In Mesa County, a sharp rise in COVID-19 has school officials worried that learning might have to return to online only across the entire school district. Two fires are burning in the West Elk Wilderness east of Gunnison. As of Thursday morning, the Coal Creek fire was at roughly 7 acres. The Poison Spring fire is about 15 to 20 acres. Helicopters and ground crews are on the scene, and the cause of the fires is still under investigation. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
Engineers at a uranium mill in southeast Utah have figured out how to produce a concentrate of rare earth elements from North American ore. From KUER NPR Utah, Kate Gratzinger reports that's a big deal since the U.S. currently relies on China for the elements.
The market for domestic uranium has shrunk in recent years, but for rare earth elements, it's huge. They are used in everything from missiles to iPhones, and the federal government wants to bring their production back to the United States. Curtis Moore with Energy Fuels says the company's White Mesa mill is perfectly positioned to help, since these elements can occur alongside uranium.
This is really not that different in concept than anything this facility has done for 40 years. It's recovering uranium out of an ore.
The mill was able to produce a substance with a high concentrate of the metals by milling something called monazite sand, which also contains uranium. Moore said his company will continue refining the process over the next 2 months before deciding whether to move forward with commercial production. Kate Gretzinger, KUER News.
Traveling along western rivers can give a glimpse into the power of erosion. The region's deepest canyons were formed by moving water. But if you look closer, you can see the ways humans have tried to control that process for their benefit. From KSJD in Cortez, Daniel Reisel reports on how some unconventional methods from long ago are still affecting waterways today.
It's a sunny fall day in southwest Colorado, and I'm out for a drive with longtime river rafter Sam Carter. We're pulling off the highway and onto a gravel road to take a closer look at the Dolores River, where Carter has boated for about 20 years.
You can see like a door upright below the bumper.
The aspens are a beautiful golden yellow this time of year, but our sightseeing is focused on the body of a decaying car parked under a private landowner's bridge.
Yeah, I think it's just a smashed car on top. Yeah, it's an old frame. It's an old metal car frame with a bumper attached.
Yeah. Old cars like this one are known as Detroit riprap, rusted hulls buried in banks to protect places like the foundation of this bridge from eroding away. And though we're a long way from the Motor City, cars and other junk can be found in riverbanks across the West.
I've also seen rubble, bricks and concrete with rebar.
Gigi Richard teaches geosciences at Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado, and is the director of the Four Corners Water Center there. Rivers want to meander, flood, and erode, and humans want to control that. Richard says that's why people will use just about anything, like Detroit riprap or tied-up telephone poles, to stop the natural process.
when the river starts eroding and threatening your property, then people will often do what they need to do to try to stop the river from moving.
Beyond being an eyesore, amateur riprap can be hazardous to boaters, with prodding metal poking holes in rafts, or to people fishing and swimming. And cars that still had fluids in them when landowners buried them in banks likely leaked into the river over time. But Richard says it isn't always bad.
I think amateur riprap is often more vulnerable to failure, but sometimes it's over-designed too, so sometimes it can be stable.
There's also newer, professionally installed technology, like the J-hook, a string of rocks that redirects energy toward the center of the river, away from banks, and also provides feeding lanes for fish. John Alves is a senior aquatic biologist with Colorado Parks and Wildlife.
Surprisingly, the car bodies will hold some trout, especially late in the year when the flows are low.
But he would like to see property owners use other methods, like J-hooks or old trees, where its trunk is supporting the bank and its roots are slowing water flow while providing habitat for fish. Alves notes, though, that while public lands will receive the funding for better engineered erosion control, private landowners aren't always up to the expense.
If people don't have the money to do it, then they just throw whatever they have laying around out in the against the bank to keep the river from eating it away.
And removing the repurposed junk could do more harm than good. Professor Gigi Richard says professionally engineered riprap isn't perfect either, like the jetty jacks on the Rio Grande. Picture giant metal toy jacks strung with cables. They were meant to slow flows during floods, but eventually became hazards as the jacks tumbled in the river, prompting their removal. She says it's a balancing act between controlling erosion and letting rivers get messy.
We're acknowledging that in order for rivers to be healthy and function as healthy dynamic systems, they need to have the ability to be connected with their floodplains and in some places to meander and erode the way that a river naturally would.
Overlooking the Dolores, Sam Carter thinks back on his years of boating, his times dodging dangerous riprap or squeezing under a bridge in high water. He says he understands the needs of property owners and wanting to protect and access their land, but he also wants to review our relationship with rivers.
It's beautiful here. You know, why not go out and have some fun and enjoy the waterway and then become the kind of people that really want to see it from the inside and take care of it and keep it clean.
And if the cleanliness of riverbanks is a top priority, Carter says it'll take many more resources and a region-wide effort to do it. I'm Daniel Reisel in Cortez, Colorado.
This story is part of ongoing coverage of Water in the West, produced in partnership with public radio stations KSJD and KUNC, and supported by a grant from the Walton Family Foundation. That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.